Thank you, Brother Billy. We appreciate it, the opportunity to be here with you this evening. And you folks here at Benson Grove Baptist, you know how to treat your guest. We appreciate that. Amen. The food, the fellowship, gift certificate to Cabela's. I know who figured that one out. Amen. And I thought I was going to go buy me some ammo, but that might not get about 10 rounds. You know, we was riding up the road from the hotel, and it's a whole lot of biker patches out there. And probably some of you still work in tobacco. And when I was young, my brother lived in Orange County, and Orange County, Hillsborough and Cedar Grove and all Eflin, all up in there was big biker country. It ain't so much like that no more. But I was looking out at those biker fields, and I can remember when Miss Angie and I first got married, my brother was getting ready to put three boys through school, and we would go and help them. And we didn't even do any bottom pulling. We was top pulling. I mean, we was getting the last of it. And about halfway down the row, buddy, I was done give out. Because, you know, the monkey was on my back. But them boys, they would come around, they'd pull their row, and then they'd come in behind me, and then they'd catch me up. And I'd have two arms full of tobacco, and they'd have all the rest of mine. And I just thought about that sitting there. That's how I learned that you can always count on somebody to lighten your load. Amen? Because if you know what I'm talking about, priming the biker, well, it's biker is what it is. But last time I was here, I don't know if I told you about the story. There was a state trooper down in, I believe it was in Johnston County. He said that there was a hog truck that come up the road and made a quick stop, and one of the hogs fell out the back of his truck. And the fella was riding up and saw him, and the truck took off and didn't even know it. And so the state trooper stopped, and the fella asked him, he said, "What do you want me to do with this hog?" He said, "That driver's done gone." He said, "Well, if you can get him in the back of your car," he said, "take him down the road a little bit." He said, "There's a petting zoo down there." He said, "Maybe they'll take the hog." He said, "All right, I'll do that." So they parted ways. That was on a Monday. Well, Thursday, said the trooper was riding down the highway, and he saw that guy and said the hog was sitting in the front seat with him. And he stopped him. He said, "I thought I told you to take that hog down to the petting zoo." And the guy said, "I did." And he liked it so much, "We're going to the beach today." You can't never tell about hogs, I'll tell you. We moved to Snow Camp, and the folks that live behind us they've got a dozen or more hogs. And every time I walk by and see them, all I smell is barbecue. Now, some folks may smell something else, but I smell barbecue. It's good to be in God's house, isn't it? Amen. 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 You know, you gentlemen singing, that just blesses my heart to no end. That young man playing that juice harp, that blesses me to no end. There is no place like this place, like God's house. Amen. When I got saved, I was 33 years old. And I probably told you, I didn't go to church for 20 years. My wife grew up in a Baptist church, but she wasn't saved. And she and I both got saved at the same time. And we visited Friendship Baptist Church on that Sunday morning. My wife had bought me one of them sporty sport coats and a pair of pants. And I didn't even wear a pair of socks to church that Sunday morning. I didn't know any better. But buddy, when I left that day, I thought, that's my home. That's my home. I'd never seen a preacher preach and throw his foot up on the pulpit. And I was sitting about four rows back, and I thought, I don't know what he's doing, but I like it. And he'd holler, and he'd run down there and jump up on the pew. And I'd look up at him, and he is spitting and slobbering and just preaching. I thought, Lord, have mercy. I don't know what this is, but I like it. And about 6 months later, I'd gotten used to the church and the preaching and the people. And man, I went in and I thought everybody in the church was saved. Boy, I found out that ain't so. I had people, I would greet people and shake people's hand in our church and just shout, sit there and shout. And didn't nobody have to even tell me, you need to shout right here. You need to shout right here. I just shouted on general purposes. Amen. At the drop of a hat. Sometimes I dropped a hat. But I had people tell me, Brother David, this'll wear off. Well, it's been 32 years. I can't get it off. Amen. I can't get it off. Matthew 17, if you stand with me. And let's read through verse number 9. Matthew 17. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun. And his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. Behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise and be not afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, Tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. Father, please, now, I need your help. Fill me with the power of the Spirit of God. Lord, we want to be a help and a blessing to the people here at Benson Grove Baptist Church. I thank you for the opportunity that you've given us to stand and to be a help and a blessing. Do that which we cannot do in our own selves, Lord. And maybe there's somebody here tonight that needs encouraging. We pray, Father, they'd be encouraged. We pray, Father, for those that may not be saved. God, help them to see Jesus is the only way. He is the greatest love story. We love you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you. And you can be seated. This message tonight was born out of a meeting. I would go down to Brother Roloff Holmes. Brother Stan Mitchell was pastoring down there at the time. And I would go down each year, and we were having a meeting one year, and several of the men and women, it's only over 18 on the men and over 18 on the women. And that night, we had several of them that began to give their testimony. And one of the young men that gave his testimony has since married Brother Stan's daughter, Jordan. And he has been called to preach, and they're up now in the Dallas-Fort Worth area and ministering. And he is from Albuquerque, New Mexico. And he said as a young man, he wanted to be a fireman, intelligent boy. But when he became a teenager, he started using drugs and got hooked on heroin. And he said he and his brother were living in an abandoned car. They were homeless, living in a car. And he said he'd have to steal to support his drug habit. Well, there was a lady that lived in Albuquerque, and if you know anything about Albuquerque, it's one of the poorest areas in the United States of America. And he said he stole something from a lady that would help wayward kids, homeless kids in that area. And he stole something from her that was of great value to her. And she found out about it and she told him, she said, we can't let you, you can't get by with this. We've got to do something about it. And so she went to the judge and the judge said, well, if he will give these items back to you, said that he's got to be punished, judgment's got to come down, but it won't be as severe if he'll do that. And so he agreed to that and he gave her back the items that were stolen. And part of his penalty was going to Roloff Homes. And so he went to Roloff, and they said that the first week he was there, he was going through withdrawals, and he would lay out in the pavement there in front of the place and go through withdrawal pains and do all kinds of things to try to leave and just so much. But he said one day, finally, he was over the jonesing and the withdrawal pains. And he said God saved him. And he began to talk about what God started doing in his heart and his life. And he talked about how that he had met Jordan. And, you know, I had prayed for her. They're close to us, and I'd prayed for her maybe because she's very talented. Maybe she would marry a preacher and she would be able, he would be able to pastor, and she could play the piano and help with the kids. And they asked me about Kevin. Miss Lee said, what do you think about Kevin? He'd been saved. He'd gotten saved. I said, no. She don't need to mess with Kevin. Now, he was a Christian, but I said, I don't think so. Well, anyway, they wound up getting married. And I'm going to tell you what, boy, was I wrong about him. And he was testifying that evening, and I was sitting there in that pew, and I said, boy, it's good to be here. It's good to be here to listen to what God has done in somebody's life. You know, we heard it last night that there's things in our lives that only God can do. Amen? I heard about Brother Kevin. Brother Randy Burge was there, and he was from Tennessee, Scott County, Tennessee. A drug user, a very popular guy in high school, football player, could have gone places with a scholarship to play football, I think either Georgia or Alabama. And he got involved in drugs and it ruined his life. He would steal from his mother, his father, his grandparents, his brother. Nobody would let him. Nobody in his family would let him have anything to do with them. He was cast out. And so the court said, you can go to Roloff Homes. And God saved him. And he began to talk about what God had done in his life. And today, he works for the court systems in Scott County, Tennessee. He has a ministry called But God Ministry. And I listened to what God had done in his life. And I said to myself, boy, it's good to be here. It's good to be in God's house. It's good to be among God's people, amen? And it's good to hear the testimony. I heard a testimony of a girl that had lived in Tennessee, and her father owned one of the largest triple X-rated bookstores in the city. And one day her and another girl were going to the beach or something. She said, I just think I'll end my life, and was going to drive her car into a pole or a building. She had a wreck, but she didn't die. And she said God saved her that night. God turned her life around. She married a boy that became a preacher. I think now she's 9 or 10 children. 4 or 5 of her boys are now preachers. And I sat there that night and I thought, look what God has done with a life that the devil tried to throw away. Amen? Amen. It's good. It's good to be here in God's house. You think about your life. You are sitting in the place that preaches the truth. Amen? The only solid foundation that you and I have today, the only solid foundation we have is God and His Word. Amen? And we meet together in God's house. Amen? We're God's children in God's house, and it's good to be here. Amen? I love God's house. I love God's people. When I hear a child of God stand up and begin to testify about what God has done in their lives, I sit there and it does something to me right in here. Amen? And I said, boy, I wouldn't have heard that out there. Amen? I wouldn't have heard that out there. You hear it right here. Amen? Right here is where we share our burdens. Right here is where we pray about things that go on the outside. Right here is really where we introduce our children, amen, to the gospel. Now you got a responsibility at home, moms and dads and grandmas and pepaws and brothers and sisters, but right here is where the children learn. The Bible says the older are to teach the younger. The older ladies teach the younger ladies how to live, how to prepare for marriage, proper etiquette. And the little boys, the older, I used to tell my young'uns at the church, my boys at church, I said, young'uns, I said, if you're going to talk to somebody, if you got a little girl that you're, sweet on, I said, always put something in your mouth. Keep your fingernails clean. Don't smell like you've been eating hot dogs all the time, amen, with onions, amen. You know what I'm talking about. Hey, man, it's good. It's good. I remember the first I was saved in August, October. We had a revival meeting. And I didn't even know what revival was. And I asked the preacher, and he told me, and Brother Grady Gregory, I don't know if you know Brother Grady. Brother Grady preached revival. And on Thursday evening, we were singing old rugged cross in that church. And all of a sudden, a cloud. Yeah. It started getting cloudy in that church. And I thought, what in the world is going on? And you may not believe it because you wasn't there. There was about 150 of us in there, but that place got cloudy in there. And I was like, boy, if this is what heaven is like, I like it. Amen? And I said, man, it's good to be here. It's good to be here. I think about a time we had at the church. And what I'm doing is just giving you some illustrations about what happens in the house of God. We had a meeting one time, and there was a lady that came up to the pulpit, and she handed the preacher an envelope. And in the envelope, she said, preacher, God told me to give this to you. And he opened that envelope up, and 13 $100 bills opened up. And preacher said, well, what do you want me to do with it? She said, I don't know. God told me to give it to you. Well, there was a fella there that had back surgery. He was sitting in the back in a recliner. And preacher said, Miss Walker, you come up here. And so he stepped down and he said, you and Tom, y'all need this. And she was crying, And she went back, and so we was still shouting, and everything was going on in the church. In about 10 minutes, she came back up. She said, "Preacher, we don't need this money. We don't need this." So he said, "Okay." So he took the money, and he held that $1,300 bills out. He said, "All right, if you've got a need, I want you to come up here and get $100. Well, there was people that was honest. They went up and they got the money. Well, Adam was born. Our son was born club-footed. His feet were turned in like this. And we had to buy him special shoes and to turn his feet out like this. Well, we had to buy him a pair of shoes. But we hadn't told anybody. Angie wasn't working. I was just one working in the house and had another mouth to feed anyway. After the service was over, I was sitting right there and the preacher came down and I stood up and I said, "Boy, it's good to be here and I love you." He stuck something in my pocket. We got home, I said, "He stuck something in my pocket." I pulled it out. It was a $100 bill. I said, "Angie, don't we need to buy Adam some shoes?" She said, "Yeah." I said, "How much are they?" She said, $100. I said, "Look at there. Look at there. That's something only God could do. That's something only God could do." Amen. You think about that. Think about your experiences and the churches where you're from. And I remember when we were between churches, we had left Piedmont Baptist and had gone back to our home church, Friendship. Well, there was a church down in Georgia that had called us, down in Columbus, Georgia. And so we went down there, and I met with the group, with a group of men, and they were asking me all sorts of questions. And I could tell that they weren't just exactly like old-fashioned independent Baptists were, you know, what I was used to. And so Angie asked me, we were leaving Columbus, and she said, "Well, how'd it go?" I said, "Well, you know, maybe God wants us to get on a higher plane." You know, I was thinking, maybe what we've been doing all these years is sort of elementary, and God's wanting us to get to another level. And she said, "What?" I said, "I don't know. I'm just trying to figure this thing out, you know. Maybe I would be a professor and say God and things like that." Well, we was on the way through Atlanta, and I called Brother Joe Arthur, and I said, "Brother Joe, we're coming through." He said, "Boy, you better get here early because the race is Sunday." He said, "If you don't get here early, you won't get here in time." He said, "When you get here, come to my office." I said, "Okay." So we started out early. Well, we got to church. They's done started having church. So we snuck in the back, had to sit in the very back. And when we got there, I never heard such racket going on in all my life in that church. Somebody had just got out of prison. And they had him up on the platform with the family. And Joe was speaking and folks was shouting and people was had handkerchiefs going and people running around in the church. And me and Angie was sitting in the back and I looked at her and she looked at me and she said, "This is our crowd." And I said, "Boy, it's good to be here. Boy, it's good to be here." And you know, that's what Peter said. He said, "Lord, it's good to be here. It's good to be here." Now you think about that. They went up into a mountain apart. And Peter said, "Boy, I'm glad we got to experience this. We're glad we got to experience this." You go to many places in your lives, but there's no place like this place. It's no place like going to church. I know it ain't always like this. Amen. Sometimes it's flatter than a penny on the floor. You know? Sometimes it's shouting going on, and that's good. And sometimes it's a holy hush, but that's still good. Amen. Amen. Sometimes you got somebody that's sick, Brother Billy. People that's that's pillars in the church, and you hate to hear about a sickness or something that comes sudden, but aren't you glad that you got this place? You got folks that's with you. It's good to be in the presence of the Lord. Amen? It's good to be in the presence of God. I'm the least of any of you men of God. I'm not worthy to even tie your shoes. You know, I was just an old drug user drunk that God chose to save. Preacher knocked on my door and I said, what do I need to do? And God's 33 years old. I got a lot in this hard drive. It's still there. And I'm the least of all any of you men. And I just thank God every day that He lets me get up here. Amen. He lets me get up here. Amen. It's good to be in God's presence. Amen. They experienced a miracle. He was transfigured. And Moses and Elijah. Moses represented the Old Testament law. Elijah represented the Old Testament prophets. Jesus represented grace. And then Peter, James, and John, they're in here in the New Testament too. So you had the gospel up there on that mountain. He was talking to them about the things that were coming up. And Peter said, boy, it's good to be here, Lord. He saw Jesus like he'd never seen him before. The Bible said he was transfigured. He talked to them. He taught them. Amen. And God said, hey, this is my beloved son. You hear him. You listen to them. It's good to be in the presence of the Lord. Not everybody gets to experience these things. You know, in my 32 years of being a Christian, that glory cloud that I told you about, that's the only time I'd ever experienced that. Only time in 32 years. That we had a service there at Friendship Baptist Church one time when people got up and started asking for forgiveness. You've got to put on some humility when you start confessing your faults one to another. And I've only been in two services like that in 32 years. Now, I've been in a bunch of services where it just, you got out the banks. I've been in a bunch of services when it was a holy hush and the preacher really got deep into the Word of God and you come away thinking about, wow, how he expounded the Word of God. But not every, just Peter, James, and John. There was 12 of them, wasn't it? Now, Jesus only chose three of them. Now, I can only figure out one or two reasons. Either they were close to Him and He said, you come on, boys. You're going to get to experience this. Or they was troublemakers and He said, Peter, James, and John, you going with me. I can't leave you down here with the rest of these. Ain't no telling what y'all be doing when I get back. Wonder why the whole group didn't go. Not everybody. You may miss church. You say, I hate to miss church. Yeah, but you may miss it. And the very service you miss it, somebody ain't never testified in their whole life gets up and says, I gotta say something. And when they do, you know that was God. Because you say, they don't ever say nothing. I mean, they don't ever say nothing. It's good to be in the presence of the Lord. Not everybody gets to experience it. It's good to be in the presence of God's people. That's what Peter said. Peter said, there's Moses. There's Elijah. We've read about them, but we never seen them. Boy, it's good to be in the presence of God's people. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad when you hear and somebody does get blessed? Somebody, all of a sudden, the preacher's preaching, all of a sudden, woo, glory! And you look, Boy, they got something out of it. It don't make me nervous a bit. I just get in on, just get in on it. You'll do a whole lot better besides sitting here like this. Just go on, get in on it. Just go on, jump in. Amen. It's good to be in God's presence. Always, always keep your eyes on Jesus. You know, like I said, it's good to be in the presence of God's people, but God's people somewhere down the road will let you down. Not meaning to or wanting to. You know, I pastored for 27 years. You've pastored for 50, hadn't you? Somewhere down the road, besides her, somebody else has disagreed with you. They thought you let them down. And you never, as a pastor, and you've got sheep, you're going to take care of sheep, right? That's what shepherds did. Because that was their food. That was their income. The wool and the meat. You're not going to do anything to hurt your sheep. You want to make sure that sheep are well taken care of. But somewhere down the road, you're going to let somebody down. You hate to. But if you'll keep your eyes on Jesus, He'll never let you down. Everything He ever done is for my good and His glory. My good and His glory. Amen. And those experiences don't last very long. They had to come down. They had to come down from the mountain sometime. You know, it's good to be here, but the work's out there. You enter to worship, but you depart to serve. Amen. We come in here so we can get it in here and take it out there and give it. Amen. These experiences strengthen our faith. You young Christians, it's not a whole lot of churches that you see young people in anymore. Miss Angie and I were talking about it. We were talking about couples whose children we watched grow up in the church, and now they're adults. They're not in church. And you think, what happened? We were in the same place at the same time, the same preacher experiencing the same thing, God's goodness and what God was doing in people's lives. What happened to the children? So you children, you need this. Amen? You need this. It will strengthen your faith. If you look in 2 Peter, I'll give you an example. 2 Peter chapter number 1, look what Peter wrote about this experience. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty. Peter's talking about this. He said, for He received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to Him from the excellent glory, this is My beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And look what Peter said. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with Him in the Holy Mount. Now, when I read it in Matthew said they went to a high mountain apart. But when Peter came down, that high mountain became a holy mountain to him. That's what he experienced. Listen to what 1 John says, or John 1:14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Peter experienced and he wrote it down. John experienced and he wrote it down. And see, the book of Matthew gives us an account of this experience, but Matthew wasn't up on the mountain. So somebody had to tell him what they experienced while they were there. Amen? It's good to be here. Brother Billy, thank you. Amen? Amen. Never, ever, ever, never, ever, ever say, come on, we got to go to church. Don't ever say it. Say, come on, we're going to the house of God. Amen? You're a child of the King. And if you're here tonight and you're not saved, you can become a child of the King. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity you've given us to stand and to try to be an encouragement this evening. We thank you for Benson Grove Baptist Church and Brother Billy in this meeting. Thank you for the wonderful men of God have been so gracious and kind to us. And we just pray, Lord, again, as someone else said, that this meeting would continue to go on and thrive. We love you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, brother. Amen.